This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There was a hearing held today regarding a motion that was filed a few weeks ago and sealed by the court in the Chad Daybell case, and it wasn't without some serious drama. Judge Boyce was extremely angry, and rightly so, towards a man by the name of Mr. Ratliff, who is a lawyer who filed this motion. And he filed it at the end of March at the 11th hour on a Friday night before midnight, just a few days before jury selection began. Judge Boyce began the proceedings, told the court how angry he is, and was even angrier now that he was sitting at this hearing. I have never heard Judge Boyce like this ever. And during the beginning, though, just a little bit of a heads up, there was some microphone issues with Mr. Ratcliffe, but that was the least of his worries. I'm Linda with It's a Crime, so now let's get into it.
Mr. Daybell is here present, represented by his attorney, Mr. Pryor. The state's here present, not currently seated at the prosecutor's table. Seated there is attorney Terry S. Ratliff, along with another attorney, Mr. Bartlett, who represents Mr. Ratliff. The court is taking up today an order to show cause hearing, and I'm going to briefly discuss the procedural history that brings us to this at this time. I'll note that this was a motion that was filed by Mr. Ratliff, who is a bar licensed attorney through the state of Idaho, and filed a pleading purporting to be the attorney for the defendant in this case. And the pleading was filed on March 29th at 11:42 p.m., so shortly before midnight on a Friday. And I do want to discuss briefly the timing of the filing. The court was conducting jury questionnaires and preparing for jury voir dire in this case, which of course is a capital murder case, an incredibly serious case where the court counsel has spent a tremendous amount of time preparing for and getting ready for trial where we are now. The court was not made aware of the filing because it was not entered in the case until Sunday morning on March 29th, that would have been on March 31st. That was Easter Sunday, before we were going to start with our voir dire the following Monday. On Easter Sunday, my staff attorney, who had an opportunity finally to travel home and spend Easter with her family after a very long week, was interrupted out of her church services and contacted the court that we had an emergency happening in our case that was going. And the emergency was we had a motion to continue the trial. And I wasn't sure who was asking to have the trial continued, why the trial would be continued. But this created a tremendous amount of quick response required by the court, by staff, by clerks, by the prosecutors, by the defense, all occurring again on one of the few days we had a break as we were grinding through jury selection on Easter Sunday. The pleading the court received is entitled Motion to Intervene and to Continue the Trial in These Proceedings, filed by Mr. Ratliff on his official office pleading letterhead, signed by Mr. Ratliff as the attorney for the defendant, both on the signature line and on the caption. I'll note the pleading incorrectly spells the word motion. It incorrectly spells the word continue. It incorrectly spells the word proceedings in its caption. And when I reviewed this, I'm going to tell you, Mr. Ratliff, I was angry then, and I think I'm angrier now about what you did. However, in light of allowing you some due process, I looked through a correct way to handle this, and I considered Rule 11. I'll note you've retained an attorney, Bartlett, and I have reviewed a lengthy response brief along with declarations submitted on your behalf. And procedurally, where we are, first of all, the order to show cause for me is for you to explain, Mr. Ratliff, to personally explain to me how your pleading complies with Rule 11 of the Rules of Civil Procedure. Typically, when someone shows up with an attorney, their attorney gets to argue for them. However, under certain circumstances, I don't know that the right to counsel attaches, and in particular, under a Rule 11 request, I don't believe it does. I'll note the Rule 11 is a rule of civil procedure, which typically would not apply in a criminal filing. However, there are rules under the criminal rules that states we do follow civil rules when there's no corresponding rule. And in particular, Criminal Rules 47 and 49 indicate that filings of motions in criminal cases are to be filed in the same way and manner, and using the word manner, in which pleadings have to be filed in civil cases. Rule 11 governs licensed attorneys and the representations they make. There's been some indication of your counsel that perhaps Rule 11 doesn't apply. I believe Rule 11 does apply. I don't believe lawyers can file whatever they want in a criminal case without being subject to the representations under Rule 11, where they certify certain things and making those filings as officers of the court. To argue otherwise would say any lawyer could file anything they want in a criminal case and not be subject to any kind of sanction under Rule 11. And I believe Rule 11 permits exactly that for me to consider it. Rule 11 under Part C3 allows the court to conduct an inquiry on its own initiative. And the court has done this, not at the request of the parties, but at my own request, because I do have questions for Mr. Ratliff. And I'll note procedurally, while I appreciate the time and research Mr. Bartlett has put into the case, we don't have a party in this case appearing before me. Mr. Ratliff, you are not the defendant. You are not the state. You are not a prosecutor. You are not the defense attorney. You are an attorney with a license that filed something asking me to stop this trial when I don't think you had any legal standing to do that. And I'm going to give you personally an opportunity to make any explanation you want as to some of my questions. I am not going to turn this into an adjunct litigation under the auspices of this capital murder case because, quite frankly, you don't represent the defendant here. You don't represent the state. You're not a party. And I'm not going to let this devolve into a whole separate procedural mess in this case and create a record of some side issue that has nothing to do with the charges the state is currently putting evidence on for. So now that I've had my say about how we got here and why we are here, Mr. Ratliff, I have questions for you under Rule 11. And if you'd like to answer those questions personally, I will ask you some questions. If you don't want to answer those questions under the advice of counsel, I'll understand that as well. And I don't know that I even need any input from the parties. So, Mr. Ratliff, are you going to answer the court's questions as it relates to Rule 11? Okay. Okay. I'm not in contempt, Mr. Bartlett. Well, was that inconvenient for you? Was that? I'm asking you a direct question. Was that inconvenient for you? Mr. Bartlett, hold on. I indicated I wasn't going to have you argue this motion. I allowed you to start making it, and you are doing precisely that. I've thought this through. I'm in Rule 11 here. I'm in a rule that governs lawyers and their pleadings. When lawyers sign off on pleadings, lawyers are responsible for their pleadings. Lawyers, unless they're facing a sanction of jail under contempt, do not necessarily have the opportunity to have counsel represent them on a Rule 11. If you file a frivolous civil complaint and a judge says, I'm going to award fees because it was frivolous, you don't get to have another lawyer from another firm jump in between you and the judge in the complaint you filed, because you have the responsibility as a licensed attorney to put your name on pleadings and stand behind your signature under those rules, under Rule 11 and what you certify, and you answer those. In my opinion, and I'm the judge here, this is how you address Rule 11. So with all due respect, Mr. Bartlett, I appreciate you attempting to and wanting to represent your client. Again, you can do that. You've talked to him before. You can talk to him after. But the questions I have on Rule 11 relate directly to a pleading that Mr. Ratliff filed as licensed attorney in this case. And I have a right to ask him about his pleading that he filed. And so if you want to take a moment to consult with him, you can do that, but I'm not going to have you argue the merits of this. That will be up to you or Mr. Ratliff.
Best that I have an opportunity to speak with him. So thank you so much for that.
Okay, I'll take the time you need. I don't want to spend much more time this afternoon. We're in the middle of this trial. We've had evidence today. We're going to have evidence tomorrow. Make it quick, and then let me know what your client wants to do.
Yes, Your Honor.
They take a quick break, but I'll fast forward through that. We're laughing.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Bananas. Like, this is legit bananas. Okay. Let's fast forward through this. Hang on.
The pleading. All right, Mr. Ratliff, I have some questions about your pleading. Are you willing to answer those?
Sure am.
All right. The pleading I'm looking at, it's not been entered in the case yet, and the pleading Give me just a second. All right. You did, in fact, file this electronically in CR. Well, that's wrong to the case number, but this is case CR 22-21-1623, the state of Idaho versus Chad Guy Daybell. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. I'll note the case number is wrong as well. You've got it CR 12-21. The first part I want to know under Rule 11, which requires you to make representations to the court, you hold yourself out as, entitle yourself, attorney for the defendant. Why do you say that?
Judge, as you know, this is a template form, and I simply forgot to take that off of there. That was Scrivener's error on my behalf.
Okay, Scrivener's error. On the...
If you notice in the body of the motion, Judge, I say without permission of the defendant or his trial counsel.
All right, let's look at your signature on page 3. You signed Terry S. Ratliff of the firm attorney for the defendant on page 3, don't you?
Again, because it was in my template.
All right, on page 2, again, a signature, Terry S. Ratliff of the firm attorney for the defendant, correct?
I don't have page 3, yep. I just have a page 1 or 2.
Bottom of the certificate of service is one signature, another at the bottom of the contents of the pleading.
If it's there, Judge, it's there because it's a template form and I didn't strike it.
Okay. So 3 times you called yourself the attorney for the defendant. So who are you the attorney for?
Me.
So Terry S. Ratliff, attorney for Terry S. Ratliff in this case.
I should have signed citizen.
Citizen?
Yes.
Why are you referencing your bar number if you're just citizen?
Again, it's the form, Judge. It's a reference to the form. I am not Mr. Daybell's attorney, never was.
You put this on a pleading. If you look at the top left, you've got your name, your Idaho State bar number, your Ratliff Law Offices, an attorney for defendant. You're telling me you mistakenly just wanted to file something as a citizen and not as a lawyer?
I was looking for immediate relief because of the concerns I had about the case, Your Honor.
And why were you doing that on a Friday night at almost midnight? You've known about this case for a long time, according to your own content here, right?
That's correct.
So why are you doing it then?
Because I thought I needed to do something to slow it down.
Trial scheduled for how many years? And you wanted to slow it down the day before trial started?
I'd also gotten calls from Mr. Pryor, Judge, for help.
That might be fine, but did he ever retain you on the case or did you ever enter an appearance for the defendant?
I did not.
All right. And you do state in here you're filing this pleading without the permission of the defendant or his counsel, correct?
That's correct.
You also state in here and call yourself an intervener. What basis do you have to intervene?
Based on my...
On the brief?
Yeah. It's set out in our brief, Judge, as to the basis for why I wanted to intervene. In the motion, I quote you the relief I wanted. I give you the grounds on page 1 as to why I wanted that relief and why I thought it was necessary.
Okay. And you're going to intervene now not as Terry Ratliff lawyer, Terry Ratliff citizen at large?
I think it's semantics, Your Honor.
Oh, boy. Let me stop you there. It's absolutely not. A bar licensed attorney filing something with their bar number to the court is completely different than a citizen. That is not semantics. This is what brings you within the auspices of Rule 11.
I understand. I said perhaps I should have signed it as a citizen, but I didn't.
All right. In your intent to intervene, whether it's as a citizen or an attorney, let me read you a couple of case quotes. Quote, the Idaho rules of criminal procedure do not provide a process for intervention. The inability of non-parties to intervene in a criminal case recognizes that the considerations underlying intervention in civil cases are not applicable to criminal proceedings. That's People versus Ham. And that's State versus Johnson, 167 Idaho 454. And we've also got another Idaho case citing, quote, petitioners are correct that Idaho's rules of criminal procedure do not provide a specific mechanism for third parties to intervene in a criminal case. So again, I think there's settled case law that prohibits intervention in a criminal case. And I'd like to know what authority you have that says you have a right to intervene either as an attorney or a citizen in this case.
As outlined in our brief, Judge, sorry about that. As outlined in our brief, we have given the court several cases where the Idaho appellate courts have allowed people to intervene in cases in a criminal matter, even though they're not parties. That's my basis.
So you intervene, and then we've got two parties here. We've got the state, we've got Chad Daybell, and you're going to float around and be what if you intervene in this case? What are you going to be?
I'm not going to be floating around this case, Judge, because you haven't granted my motion.
Well, assuming you got to intervene, you assumed in your motion you did intervene because you called yourself the intervener once you got going in your motion. What were you going to be at that point?
I was hoping to have a hearing in front of you before the trial started.
Okay. And you said you were going to be the lawyer for the defendant, or already were the lawyer for the defendant. Is that
not? I explained to you just a few minutes ago that that was a mistake.
Explain to me all of the misspellings and typographical errors in your late night filing.
I was nervous and it was late at night. I didn't take this lightly.
You didn't take it lightly, but you used the wrong form. You misrepresented if you were an attorney or a citizen, and you signed three times as attorney for defendant. And that's your explanation?
Yes.
All right. Mr. Ratliff, I find based on your responses, you have violated Idaho's Rule 11 under the Rules of Civil Procedure, which I find are incorporated through Idaho Criminal Rule 47 and 49. The court would note that in the rules under C1, not, it's mandatory. It says the court must impose an appropriate sanction on an attorney, law firm, or party that violated the rule. And similar to what would happen in a civil case with a frivolous type filing, which this was, this cost time, this cost effort, this cost real loss for the attorneys, for the court. I'm going to instruct counsel for both the state and the defense if they could itemize the time they have spent both in today's hearing, in preparing for the hearing, as well as in dealing with this pleading from the time it was filed on Friday night, the 29th, whatever time you've put into that. I'm gonna direct Mr. Ratliff that you pay reasonable attorney fees incurred for the time Mr. Pryor spent at his typical hourly rate, or the state's attorneys and whatever rate they are entitled to charge as public prosecutors. And the court will likewise itemize some billing time incurred in this. And the sanction the court's going to order is the payment of those attorney fees. The court will provide time for counsel to submit those. I'll review those for reasonableness before I make an order. And pursuant to the rule, which requires a written order under Rule C6 of Rule 11, the court will describe in that order the conduct and the basis for the sanction, and you're going to pay for those fees. Do you understand that, Mr. Ratliff?
That's fine, Judge.
Very well.
Your Honor, if I may, I'm going to request findings of fact and conclusions of law. As this court is aware, we submitted briefing that addressed many of the issues you addressed to Mr. Ratliff in great detail, giving multiple basis for his right to intervene. The judge, you have not addressed those arguments, and so I'm going to ask for findings of fact, conclusions of law.
All right. Well, Mr. Bartliff, you can ask. I'm not inclined to do that because, again, I've got a lawyer in front of me that submitted a pleading, and the lawyer is responsible for the pleading. I'm not necessarily allowing any further input on behalf of counsel for the lawyer that filed the pleading. I don't think it's proper because I'm not imposing any kind of jail time or sanction, similar to Rule 75 of the civil rules, which would implicate on a contempt proceeding the right to counsel. So I'm going to stand by my ruling that I made and ask the attorneys to submit those. That concludes the matter for this afternoon.
Judge, if I may.
I'm done with this issue, and I'm done wasting time on this issue in the middle of a capital case. We're done. We're in recess.
I want to hear your thoughts on this. I feel like this guy, I'm surprised he's even in the bar or past the bar. I've never seen such unprofessionalism. I did read the motion a few weeks ago, and there were spelling errors. And then he's saying that there's all kinds of things that, I meant to be a citizen, but I didn't put that. And basically, Judge Boyce called him out, as you heard, on the BS. And he just thought it was ridiculous too. You could hear it in his voice. He actually laughed. There was some spots. Let me just find this here. He's like, yeah, so what are you gonna do? You're gonna float around and be what if you intervene in this case? What are you gonna be? He said a couple things that were excellent points. And I noticed, and you might wanna rewind and look at this, but I noticed that during this hearing, we see a very different demeanor in Mr. Pryor. Usually he's very confident, but he looked like, and this could be just my interpretation, but he looked like a little bit of his tail tucked, so to speak. Now you heard, or you might not have heard, Ratcliffe say that basically that John, he talked to John Pryor, he phoned John Pryor up. So my ears went a little bit perked up at that, but it's unfortunate that Judge Boyce didn't address it. What do you think about this? I'm curious as to your thoughts. I was shocked throughout this whole thing because even at the end, they said they request for finding of facts and conclusions of law. They feel that they have a right to intervene in this case and that the judge is in contempt, and he just had enough. He called it. He says, I'm not going to listen to this anymore. I'm done with you. Let me know below what you think. Let's have a chit chat about it. I'm shocked. If you want to know more about what's going on in trial, click right here.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.